We'll get an opportunity to continue to say the good mornings to everyone and to have coffee and tea afterwards in the lounge at the back. Thank you, Steve, for leading the first part of that service, and Terry for leading worship this morning. I'm looking this morning at a passage in Joshua. So if you've got your Bible with you, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 4. Just three verses in Joshua chapter 4. First three verses. And it says this. Who's on there? Yep, good. It says this: when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, right from where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." Imagery and memory are very important in Scripture, because remembering was incredibly important. Indeed, remembering is always important. And as you get older, you find that lack of memory and the ability to remember things becomes more and more noticeable, I suppose. It reminds me of a story of a wife who said to her husband, elderly husband, "Can you go down to the shop and get some vanilla ice cream and some chocolate syrup?" "Do you want me to write that down?" she said. "Oh, it's only two things," he replied. "It's not a problem." And later he returned and handed her a package containing cheddar cheese. "I knew I should have written it down," she said. "Look, you've forgotten the crackers." Consequences of not remembering are you don't always get what you think you're going to get. For that couple, obviously not very serious, but it can be. And in the Old Testament, the setting up of memorial stones and altars represents significant moments in the history of the nation. And significant moments in the history of the nation of Israel were significant moments that God meant his people to remember. It might be a pile of stones that Joshua asked the people of Israel to bring out and to make into that pile beside the Jordan River where they camped that first night. But that pile of stones was about a story that needed to be told and retold and retold again. That simple pile of 12 stones were not there as decorations in the new land they were taking hold of. It was a representation of national history. Those 12 stones represented everyone in the nation. It represented every generation, and it told them to tell, retell, retell, retell the story over and over again. Their story, of course, was complex and important. It was a story of a nation's needs, of journeys of suffering. It's a story of gravity and a story that teaches lessons that absolutely had to be remembered. It was a story about many things. First of all, it was a story about a great big God. You know the old children's story, song, "Our God is a Great Big God." Well, for Israel, the central story of their establishment as a nation by God, and how God had called them and formatted them and led them, how God had heard their cries for help. We've got a lot of whistling going on, Tony, somewhere. I'm not sure where. How God heard their cries for help, established a plan to rescue them, and how not only he worked his miraculous way through, but he had paid attention to their every need, and he met with them. How completely he saved them from slavery. It was a story to be told about how great and big and mighty and fantastic their God was. And not to forget who their God was. The God who saved them. The God who divided the Red Sea. The God who led them out of slavery in Egypt. The God who led them and given them everything that they needed. But it wasn't just the story of a great big God. It was also the story of human frailty. It's an honest story. An honest story not only of the larger truth of grace and rescue, but also the smaller stories of people and the internal struggles of men and women who didn't really trust God at all. Not if they could help it, anyway. Those who struggled for independence, who struggled with a desire for comfortableness, those who complained at every opportunity that their rescue wasn't complete enough and that their freedom was bringing struggle that they never anticipated. It's a story not only of the great bigness of God, but also the frailty of human beings. It's a real story. But it's not just a story of, on one hand, a great God who can do great things, and on the other, a frail human group who keep falling down and failing. It's also another story. It's a story of transformation. It's a story of transformation through journey, through life. A nation that arrived at the promised land somewhat later than they'd anticipated, but changed from the people who left the land of slavery. They were not the same nation that left Egypt. They were not the same nation that rejected the opportunity to go quicker. That generation had learned to accept and to trust in God, to follow the Lord, not like their forefathers had done, to reject Him and moan about it and rebel and say, where's the bread we need? Where's the meat we need? Where's the water we need? They were trusting God and following Him. They weren't trying to rebel and do it themselves. All this is contained in 12 stones that are pulled out of a riverbed by 12 men from different tribes representing them all. That's the story that God wanted told and retold. The problem is, of course, that we have one difficulty, and that is that we tend not to remember. Because it goes on to be a story of serial forgetfulness. Indeed, that problem of the people of Israel is that they seem to have serial ongoing forgetfulness. Mass amnesia seems to break out in that people group very regularly. The next book to this book of Joshua is the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is a list of 12 men and women of God who are sent to save Israel time and time and time again. Why? Because they forgot about that pile of stones and forgot to tell the story. They sent to save Israel and lead them back because they forget. The problem was that every time that generation died, people forgot to keep telling the stories. What they were supposed to be like, the transformation that they needed to marry up to, the obviousness of the frailty of the human condition and the greatness of the God who rescued them. They kept on forgetting and going off to do the same old things over and over and over again. The consequences of their forgetfulness is they left the blessing of God and fell under the forces of neighboring nations who oppressed them. And then they get to that point when they think, I know what we'll do. We'll call out to God. They did it over and over again. An old friend of mine, Bill Cotton, used to say, it's a cycle of apostasy. Over and over again. The problem with human beings is that they forget, they look at their elders and their generations that have gone before, and they tend to write them off. Oh, what do they know? They don't know what pressures are like today. They don't understand. All they have to do is this. Why don't they just try this? Some people only ever learn that fires burn by putting their hand in the fire. For the Israelites, it led them to dark places over and over again. Because they would not remember generation after generation. Today, in nearly every city, town, and village in our nation, are memorial stones. Not 12 plucked out of a river, but ones like these. They're not mere gravestones. They don't exist to tell the story just of dead people. They're there to tell the story, or to remind us to tell the story that needs to be told and retold, that no matter how interested or not we are personally in history, we need to know the details. Stories of sadness, of families who received a knock on the door to tell them of a son lost, a husband lost, a brother lost, a father lost. Stories to remind a community of a huge price that is paid for freedom. But also the story of a history that needs to be remembered, of alliances that lead to war, of allowing power to snuff out hope, of allowing fear to reshape our responses. You see, the problem is, we are terribly forgetful. We don't often see the point in history. The history program comes on the telly and we turn over to find something nuanced towards our delight on the other side. We get annoyed when Uncle Albert in our family stands up and says, "During the war," as my grandfather on both sides used to say. Who wants to be reminded about what happened 100 years ago? But it isn't a question of whether we want to be reminded. It's a question of whether we need to be reminded. Whether we stop something happening again because we know what happened before, or we don't. Or to learn why we are the way we are, because it has a very clear reason. The people of Israel built memorial stones. We have war memorials. We all need to remember. We all need to tell the stories and to retell the stories and to retell the stories. We may not have all the stories behind all the names, but we have their story to be told to our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. A number of years ago, Ali and I and the boys were in France. We had been to the Alps on holiday. Someone had kindly, there was a foreign exchange student who wanted to do an exchange of our house in Charminster with their house on a mountaintop in the Alps. And it sounded like a good plan. And so we went to the Alps, and we went there, and we had a great holiday, thunderstorms and walking and all sorts of stuff you do in the Alps. And then on the way back, we decided to go by this memorial at Thiepval. Thiepval is right on the hilltop overlooking the Somme, the River Somme. And on that memorial, you'll see the white bands at the bottom of that memorial are the lists of 73,000 names. Not 73,000 names of people who died on the Somme, but just the 73,000 names of the men who died on the Somme and whose bodies were never found. And we spent maybe an hour walking around and around those columns. There are column after column after column, all inside that whole archway, and they are all from floor to ceiling, listing all names in alphabetical order of the people who died. It is something to behold. You know, war memorials may not be the clearest indication of what has happened, but when we see them, perhaps we should stop and think and remember them. Let's pray. Father, there are many lessons to be learned from the things that have gone before. There are many in our nation, in our government, in our parliament, in our street, who are trying to make wise decisions. Help them to be guided by what's gone before, not just the good ideas that come into their heads. Help us, Lord, to remember and to learn from history and not to be lost again to it, not to see our children on a battlefield somewhere under a Portland headstone. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who've gone before, help us to remember that.